This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's up, guys? Welcome to The Sesh. I got a very special guest. Please introduce yourself. Let everybody know what you do.
Oh, hello, guys. Thank you so much for inviting me. Hi, everybody that is watching us. My name is Milly Chirino Milagros, like I was telling Robert, and I'm originally from Rio Bravo, Tamaulipas. I grew up there until I was 15, then I came here to McAllen, and then I've lived in Austin, I lived 3 years in Phoenix, and I moved back 10 years ago to open up my first business in downtown McAllen, and we have 4 stores now, 2 clothing stores and 2 shoe stores. And I'm the CEO, CFO, business owner, model, a little bit of everything. Yes.
And that's why I wanted to invite you on, because I see the hustle behind the scenes and I see all the success that you've had. And I'm gearing this podcast towards that for like entrepreneurs, because I know that it's tough for one. I've noticed that it is entrepreneurship. If Rob wasn't around, I'd be the loneliest person in the world, because half of the time I'm sitting here on my computer working like literally by myself in my own head. Do you have a similar journey like that? Or
Yeah, I do spend a lot of the time in my office by myself. I have people coming in and out. Is that what you mean?
Like you're mostly to yourself, like working on the business.
Oh, yes, completely, 100%. Yes, I do have a great team. I have been able to build a great team with people that I can trust. I put really the shirt into it, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm always the one having to come up with the ideas and the changes and what's coming up. What can we do to improve? I have a really good communication with them. I also take advice from them, because I always say, okay, you guys are the ones that spend most of the time on the floor. You hear what the customers are saying, liking, not liking. So their feedback is really valuable to me. But yeah, I do spend a lot of time in my head, especially at night. It's like,
you can't turn it off.
100 miles per hour.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because you have how many stores now? Four?
Four.
So when you give us, like, I guess some first, like, tips that you can give any entrepreneur that's starting to try to start a business, like, this year. Like, for one, like, the pitfalls that you encountered.
But tell me, how long did it take you to get to four? And how did you...
Well, let's start from the beginning, because then we'll get there.
Yeah, como dices.
Give us a story.
It's crazy. I started from my house, working in my living room. I was one of the first ones to start selling on Facebook back in 2010.
2010.
Dude. Yes, I was 24.
That was like the wild, wild west back in the day.
Yes.
Every overnight success is like 7 to 10 years in the making. So, yeah.
It is. It's true. Yes. And, I mean, I started with a $300 budget and just a lot of ganas and a lot of ideas and just wanted to do something for myself, for my family. I never thought in 100 million times I would end up where I am right now with the 4 stores. We had 5. We closed one at the outlets a few years back. But that's how I started. I will buy name brand stuff that I was able to get at a really good price. And when I went into that store the very first time, like, my mind is always working like that. I'm like, oh, there's nothing like that back home. Can I sell this? Can I make money out of this? Oh, people need to know about this, you know? So my mind is always thinking, innovating like that. And I saw the store and I was like, I can get really good items, really good price. I can sell it, send it back home. Nobody knows about this store over here. At the time I was in Phoenix. And that's how I started. That was my job, going shopping every day, to bring super cute quality stuff. And I would do from the cleaning, from the shoes, not everything was brand new. I had to find ideas to fix them and make them look like perfect or really good condition, taking the photos. I mean, the great thing back then, it was just Facebook. You didn't have to deal with so much social media. Now it's like everywhere.
It's competition everywhere.
So I told my team, like, give me a break. I'm from the era from Facebook. Now it's like TikTok and Instagram and YouTube. There's so many platforms, right? But that's how I started. And then I got in contact with the shoe business industry. And I kind of got inspired by a business model that was kind of like that, where all shoe stores are the same price. Like, that would be a great idea in the Valley. We need something like that. Girls over there, they love to be on heels. So that's how I created that idea. And I started with a business partner. It went really bad the first 6 months. I was like completely kicked out of that store.
So talk about that. Let me stop you there before you go on. Like the business partnerships. Like what did you learn from that?
I was very young. I thought that I had learned so much back then. I was like, oh my God, I've learned so much. I mean, of course I did. But now throughout the years, I'm like, that was just a small rock in my road, right? On my road. But I've learned that, I mean, partnerships are not easy. It's kind of like a marriage, right? You got to really know who you're getting yourself into with business-wise. You got to be able to trust them. You got to be able to respect each other and just have kind of the same ideas and the same goals.
Same goals, yeah.
That was the thing. He was a guy, a girl. I have a very different vision when it comes to fashion and taste and what women want. I'm not going to say that only a woman can understand what women want, but I know I had a better understanding than he did. And it's just very different ideas, very different ways of working. So, I mean, the advice I would give you, yes, of course, try to
find someone you can trust.
Find somebody that you can trust and has same vision, same goals.
Or do it without.
Or not do it. Yeah, if you can't do it without a business partner, it's always, it'll be better, right? But, I mean, two great minds get together and
create.
It's just finding the right person.
Yeah. And you're right, because it does take quite a bit of years to develop a friendship, first of all, and then decide that you're going to go into business together. And that sometimes when it doesn't work, those friendships sever and it's like, it sucks.
It's hard to break the business partnership and remain friends. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah.
So let's chat about social media, since you're on it and you do it so well. What are some tactics right now that people are using that you're seeing specifically work well on social media?
Well, I think consistency, it's always been a key, even when it started. When we first started back in 2013, when we opened our first Mille store, we created this process, right, where every week we bring new shoes. So every week we're going to be posting new items. And we've done it no matter what for 10 years already. Damn.
So it's a process now.
It is a process. And we just keep adding stuff. We started doing the lives. We started doing the TikToks, the reels, stories, polls, just adding. But being constant really helps you.
You actually touched on a really good subject, because the consistency of anything, and I think this is one thing that most people don't do, is stay consistent. Mm-hmm. They assume, since they're going to push out one post, like it's going to generate so much traffic and sales, and it does not work like that.
No. It's impressive. You never know. There's some shoes that become viral. We had no idea that it was just going to blow out, right? And there's some stuff that we like, this is for sure on a sellout, and it didn't. So you just never know, right? And it all depends. I mean, we know it depends on the time you post, what day you post. All that really matters on if it's going to reach out to a lot of people or not.
So you get a lot of sales through e-commerce, and like, do you get like a lot of online sales?
We don't have a website yet. But we do sell through social media. They can DM us directly, and we'll.
It's the coolest thing in the world, though, because you can directly sell through social media. Like even Instagram stores, where I set it up for Butter of the Gods, like it's its own little store.
Yeah.
That gives us boom, buy right there, and usually they have their card already connected to it. So it's the coolest thing in the world. Like this whole e-commerce world of social media, where you can input your store and all that stuff. I think it's cool. Have you seen that affect your business, or do you see like it's going to be an add-on in the future?
No, I think, I mean, as long as we stay on top of everything, right, it should help us. I mean, it's more tools, more ways to
get sell.
People to buy and yeah. sell. Yes.
Yeah, it's
as long as
thing.
We keep bringing always the right merchandise with the right prices and the great customer service, I think we should be good.
So I want to talk about more of your process of like mm-hmm. how you stayed consistent. Like what did you have to do and how did you have to treat your team or train your team to be able to stay consistent? Because that stuff right there is the tedious stuff that nobody wants to do. And that's the thing that made the people successful in the first place is by posting consistently and then yes. they stop doing it and then it starts going down. And they don't understand what's going on.
Yeah,
so kind I of mean, touch on that.
You gotta like for example, I'll give you an example. We just first started doing selling on during lives, right? We do our normal live every Tuesday, right, where we show our new merchandise, and then we're coming up with this new other live that we do Thursday, Fridays, where we're gonna be able to sell. Of course, their first 3-5, we're kind of like iffy about it. And I told them, I mean, it's like it's gonna take time. People have to get used to it. Now, if we don't do our lives on Tuesday, we have 100 messages the next day. Hey, what happened? Why didn't you guys do the live? I want to know what's new, right? So they're already expecting it. They want to see it. They're waiting for it.
Yeah, you develop some raving fans.
Yeah. So, I mean, it takes time. It takes a lot of work. You got to hustle. And I think my team, the good thing about them is that they see it. Whenever I'm not in town and I'm not able to do it live, they like, oh man, we don't like it because the next day it's not as good when you do it. So they even push me, okay, we got to do it, we got to do it. And my whole team, like I make sure everybody is like, okay, you are the one in charge of social media and you only do this. You are in charge of answering all the messages and you do, that's, I mean, yeah, it costs a lot more because I have 15, 20 employees. But it takes good care of all the things that we need to do, the process and
well, the customer care, I think, is the number one thing, because if you have a message on Facebook, somebody wanting to buy a shoe, literally 5 minutes later, they can go onto another site and buy something. Mm-hmm. So it's capturing that lead as fast as possible.
Right away. Yeah, yes.
It's an interesting thing because a lot of people just leave those messages like unread. Not even. They won't even read them.
Yeah, no. And we started, I can tell you, I mean, when we first opened up, I was the one answering messages. Mm-hmm. And then my manager was answering messages. And he was also charging. He was also bringing all the merchandise. And I couldn't longer answer all the messages. So then we got two people to answer messages, and then it was confusion because did I answer? You answer? Who answered?
Yeah.
Who took the order? So now it's like we've learned. It's a whole process,
and you learn.
And we just take different, establish new ideas, and I'm like, okay, for this whole month, we're gonna do this new thing, and next month we'll evaluate if it didn't work, then we'll stop doing it. Yes.
Yeah. There was I got asked a question the other day. It was a young person, they're probably 18, and they're like, when you run out of ideas, how do you keep getting ideas? So
more coffee.
My thoughts on that was like, if you keep generating ideas and ideas and ideas, the ideas just keep coming to you. Like they don't stop. They don't ever stop. And I think what happens is people get tired of the ideas and putting them down on paper, and they don't become anything else. So those ideas just stop. But if you keep on thinking about them, you keep on doing them, you keep on writing them down, the ideas keep coming. How do you come up with your ideas?
Huh. Well, I think at night is when most of my ideas come to my head. But it's like any artist. There's days where you feel super inspired. You're like, okay, I'm ready. And I have all these different ideas I'm coming up with, and I think they're going to love them. And I mean, it's just, you just got to get inspired. I mean, yes, there's days where I'm like, doubting myself. I'm like, am I doing it right? Am I in the right direction? You know, but you just got to give time to yourself. Working during my workouts too, especially if I'm like listening to something motivational and things like that, that really helps me get out of there like, yeah, let's do this, you know? So just like really caring for my business, for my customers, makes me want to always be on top of
everything. Of it all. Yeah.
What has been your best idea other than opening?
My best idea?
Yeah, like something that you think that you're proud of, like aside from the business itself, but something that you think you really brought
into this world.
Yeah, to the table that maybe had gone unseen.
Like business wise?
Anything.
I think the whole concept of bringing good customer service, great products with a good quality and a great price, it's something that we've really established here in the Valley. We're very known for that.
Yeah. Well, you hit on a lot of things, because good quality, I don't know anybody who doesn't like good quality. A good price, mm-hmm. I don't know anybody who doesn't like a good price. So like all that, and then you add customer service on. I think that's one of the things that most people don't do, is offer that excellent customer service. And especially for restaurants, like I don't think people understand that when the owner or the manager hires somebody on, they become an extension of the business. So if they're, and if they have a bad day, sorry. Like that affects your business. How do you keep the happiness, or I would say the group culture happy at your business?
At my business? Oh, that's something I'm very strict at. They know that. That's one of the first
What is it like, Miley? I said do this and you do it.
not so much that, but the fact that I want to keep a good vibe. And that a lot of our customers say that about us. When they walk into our store, it's like, damn, it feels like you guys are very happy working here. And that's something I want to keep, maintain as long as I can. And I would do anything to keep it.
So how do you implement that then?
I mean, I do have great communication with my team. I'm constantly having meetings, either one-on-one or with the whole team. Whenever something's going on, there's a little bit of drama or something, somebody got mad at somebody else, I do something. I address it. Yes, I don't know. Well, it's not my problem. Whatever. Let them deal with it. I address it. They know my door is always open to any problems that they're having, anything that they're not happy with. So is my phone. So, and I think that the way you treat your employees is going to show a lot in the way they treat their customers, your customers too. So if I come and I talk really bad to them and scream at them and be disrespectful, they're not going to do that to my customers. Right. So they've learned that I don't like drama. I try to, it's like, if I respect you and I talk good to you, you should do it to your other teammates, no?
You have a very high emotional intelligence. How did you get that?
I don't know.
Was it just like foreseen? Like, I know these people are going to get upset, or like that? That takes time. That takes time to learn. Like, how did you have the foresight to?
I don't know. Yeah, it does take time, and I take the time to really study and analyze and really get to know my team, so I know how to talk to everybody. Just be very understandable,
like on an individual level.
Individual level, yes. Absolutely. I know that I don't talk the same way to this guy than to this girl. I know girls is a different, totally different way. The way I pursue them, I talk to them, I, you know, tell them directions or whatever, you know. And guys are a little more chill. You can be a little more strict.
Just tell us what to do and we'll do it.
Yeah, they're more chill, you know.
It's like having a whole other set of children.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
It really is.
Yes, but my employees listen to me more than my kids.
You're paying them, that's why.
But it's important to keep the vibe, man. And what you were saying about being an extension of you, I tell our staff that as well all the time, because my poker dealers will sit in front of people for hours, and I tell them I don't get to meet all of the people who are playing. So the perception they leave with is a reflection of me.
Of course, yes.
As an owner, and all they got is you to go off of. And I always tell them the same thing. If I don't treat you poorly, man, and if you're not not in, in a stressful environment, then keep the vibe super chill and super inviting. And I think that's what people need in any industry, man. Like, really depends on who you have representing your
exactly.
product.
Exactly,
yes, your
they are representing. They are the face of Lili's and my company. So
that's a good combination.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What is success to you? I always get different answers.
Why did I know you were going
to
ask me this?
It's because I'm very curious. In my life right now, I'm chasing different things. And I think everybody goes through those different things at different chapters in their life.
Yes.
So success becomes different things at different stages in your life. Mm-hmm. So right now, what does success mean to you?
I think success is very subjective. So it really depends on how you see it and what you want for yourself. What I want for myself is going to be very different from what you want for yourself, right? And like you said, it changes. 5 years ago, I would be like, okay, I'm 100% successful. I have my businesses running. I'm making money. But was I really happy with my own, with myself, with my skin, with my kids, with my family? You know, it's been a whole process. And how old are you, Josh?
I think I'm 41 or 42.
Well, I think 42, 41. We're around the same age. I'm going to be 38 this year. And I think we're hitting to that age where you're really, you're not in your 20s anymore. You got all your 30s where you learn, you fail, you got up and you continue. So
I would say at this point in your life, you're like, you're running out of time and you need to figure it out fast. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, you say that a lot.
I say that every day.
We're running out of time. We're running out of time.
Well, we are, and time is relative.
We value more our time. Our time becomes more precious, right?
The quality of the time. Yeah, the quality of the time becomes more treasured.
I know that I and most of the people that I know really mess up in their 20s. Pay for it throughout their 30s, and they get their shit together in their
40s. Under 40s, yes.
So I'm in my 40s. I'm 43, and I still am paying for shit, but I feel like it's part of the process.
Well, it's life.
I know, but when you say, like, what is success?
Okay, well, what is success to you?
Just waking up in the morning and knowing that there are people out there that give a shit about me specifically.
Yes.
To me, because I've had a shit ton of money, and I blew it and messed up, you know, as a young person. And then I've had no money, you know, and I've been on both sides of the spectrum. And the truth of the matter is that at the end of the day, I think success is when people want to be around you, and it has nothing to do with your assets or your liquidity.
Yeah, it has nothing to do
with
it.
It has nothing to do with what you're worth.
The size of your house or your bank account or nothing, the car you're driving.
We'd be doing way cooler shit if I was a millionaire.
Oh, for sure.
But today, if I'm broke, it's not like it makes a shit to you in your life.
It doesn't, because I can be
off of different energy.
I can do the same thing every single day at the desk anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Success, when I had it, I misused it. And when I was down and out, I questioned, you know, God's intentions for me. You know, why'd you take everything from me? At the end of the day, to me, the success is just the fact that there are people out there that will be sad if you're gone.
Agree with you 100%.
That hurt if you're hurting.
For sure.
I only have maybe 3 or 4 of them left in this world, right? But to me, that's
your world.
That's the success.
That's the success.
Because they didn't love me any different when I was rich.
Sure.
And you know, and they're all dying to help me when I'm down.
Well, I hate to put this out into the world, because I listen to entrepreneurs all the time, and specifically Alex Hormozy talks about, and it made sense in my mind, but I hated the idea of it, because he talks about 2 weeks after you're dead, you start slowly getting erased from the minds of people. Maybe you become a memory, and then eventually you're just gone, and then nobody ever talks about you again, and then you're gone. That your family has moved on. So those things kind of like make me question the life like that I get to choose. I guess the quality of time that I get to choose, like now. Like if I'm going to be gone, nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to give a shit. Well, Shouldn't you live a little bit more selfishly?
Like the legacy that you leave.
Well, that, I mean, he says the legacy is false because it doesn't matter. In 200 years, your kids will pass on. And then
they won't even talk about you.
And I hate to talk about that.
No, but it's true.
But it's true.
You die twice, man. You die when your soul and your body is no longer present here. And then you die when the last person on earth who remembers you and even knew your name dies.
That's so sad.
We have two deaths.
Wow.
Yeah, we have two deaths, you know. And then there are people out there who will never die. You know, Elvis Presley's never going to die. Michael Jackson's never going to die. You know,
eventually, Abraham Lincoln.
There's always going to be some history that will allow people to revisit.
Yeah, you're always going to find them on Google.
You know, so if AI doesn't take over the world and can
possibly kill us all, Google, but them, yes, for sure.
For those of us who haven't made our eternal stamp on life, I kind of think that you shouldn't be too disappointed in yourself, man. Just the fact that you're alive
for sure
today is.
Neil deGrasse Tyson was talking about that it's more interesting that you get to live, like all the sperm cells that didn't make it. Imagine how many trillions of those died.
Died.
And you're like and one of the one that got to. It's like there's more dead than alive. It's the weirdest thing.
True.
It's a concept.
Yes.
It's crazy.
No, but, I mean, it's just being happy with yourself.
For
being
sure.
Being able to sleep peacefully at night, waking up grateful every morning.
So here's a hard question. How does one find happiness?
How does that's one find happiness?
Depends on you.
I don't know. Just like to me, I try to really focus on myself and my family, you know, my kids and stuff. But I want to take good care of myself. Because if I'm okay, if I'm good mentally, physically, stable, at peace, then I can be okay for my kids and my team and everybody, you know? So
you're able to function.
Yes. So the battle and it's within me, right? I try to always become a better version of myself and learn from my mistakes and be okay with failure or not getting everything right or happy moments. And, you know, they don't last forever and be know that, okay, there's going to be good times and there's going to be times, bad times. You're going to be okay with yourself and always just try to be a better version. And eventually you'll feel very happy with yourself.
Yeah, because there's no other choice. Like you have to find happiness in this life.
How do you find happiness?
I find happiness through work, but the things that I get to do, the experiences that I get to do. Like I think that's the most rewarding thing in the world. Like you get to kind of live life on your own terms and you get to, I guess, script or put together your life.
Your puzzle.
These are the things that I want to do. These are the things that I like. Let me try to get paid for it. Or let me do this. Let me do this.
Yeah,
like, this is cool.
Maybe when we were younger, we had I look at it like you had a big puzzle, right? And it's like, all these things are going to make me happy. Boom, boom. You keep adding them and you're like, wait. Such a big picture and it's really not making you happy. So you start taking up all the pieces that really didn't matter. And now you have a smaller puzzle, but it's, they're really
manageable.
Important. Yeah, and they're really the most important things for you, like enjoying what you do, your work, your kids, your family, your health, your friends, your...
So that it doesn't take 40 years for somebody to get to, how do you figure out what those things are? Like, what are the most meaningful things? Because in your 20s, it's completely different.
Oh, yes.
It's partying different. With friends, going out, blowing money
out.
When I
was 20 years old, I had my son and a wife. So when I hear people say that, in the 20s, you're partying and you're doing this and that.
Well, that's what I think.
That to me, in my 20s, it's when I was working the hardest because all of a sudden there were two lives that I was responsible for. Going back to how you find happiness, mm-hmm. I don't think it's a place you arrive at. I don't think there's a map to it. Like, I don't think
it's a process.
It's a journey.
Not even. I think that you find happiness along the road. But it's a road of misery.
For sure.
You know? It's a tough road. Yeah, it's a tough road because we're all abriendo caminos nuevos on our own behalf, you know?
Yes.
And it's a shitty thing to do because you have to figure out where you're going. So I don't think that this road ends at this utopia place where it's just happiness everywhere. I think
you made it. Yeah, We've been waiting for you.
I think it's a shitty road the whole fucking way.
So you're just saying we have to grind out life.
No, I'm saying that the way you find happiness is to continuously and always remember the happy times that you've had. And that'll constantly keep you in a good mood because you're always reminiscing about all the good things that you've accomplished or that you've experienced. But I don't think it's a place we arrive. I think it's happiness is a thing that we experience in bits and pieces along the way. Because I know people who have everything.
They're still unhappy.
And they can't find peace anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, and I have and I know people who have nothing and are the same way, man. They just hate their situation. But for both those types of people, I can remember being with them at one point or another when they were genuinely smiling, genuinely happy. And now because of circumstances, there's no room for that right now. So I don't think that happiness is a place that you arrive at. I think it's a place that you bring with you and you find here and there, like badass pictures or, you know,
memories.
I think happiness is remembering the happy moments.
And if you're a tough times or in a bad moment, you just got to know that it will end and eventually. Remember the happy moments. And then, okay, yeah. I know that I'll be happy again and it'll be okay.
Yeah. What is it about people that can't understand that? Because I would assume, like, even during COVID, like, even now you see, like, a lot of deaths on social media. I've never seen that much before. It's like, I think now would be the best time for people to be like, I enjoy life. I love life.
They were more conscious about it, no? Or is it that I'm getting to that age and my group of friends is...
Is it age appropriate? Will you start thinking about mortality more?
You know, I don't know. I think that... I just think that we've survived a lot of shit, you know? And that in itself is rewarding. I look back and I can very, very seldom think about my huge wins. Like, chingao, I was on top. I don't remember how I got there. But I tell you exactly the days, what I was wearing, how I felt on the days where I had nothing. Yeah. You know? So I don't really understand how all that works, man. But I can tell you that it's just a matter of not giving up and being happy about what you've survived. Shit, if you're 38 or 43 or 42, I promise you, you've gone through some shit.
Oh yes.
You've broken some hearts. You've had your heart broken. Mm-hmm. You've lied to people and you've been lied to. Mm-hmm. And all of those things are traumatic. All of those things hurt and stay with us. You know, as much as we would like for them not to. So just the mere fact that you're an entrepreneur either making it rain or barely up and coming, the fact of the matter is that you've been through some shit and yet you're still here swinging at the ball. You're still here trying to make things happen. That to me in itself is success. Admirable because a lot of people give up, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right. We were talking about this the other day about coping mechanisms. And I think this is important because you work out.
Yes.
And me and Rob will be celebrating a year at our workout. So
like constantly working out.
Yeah, so consistently pumping iron every single week. It sucks. It has never gotten better. The diet also sucks. But I found that through the consistency has helped me develop a discipline. And I get to take that into my life. Like those little things, the coping mechanisms of dealing with life by working out has helped me release that.
Of course,
I think everybody needs that. Can you kind of touch on that?
Everybody needs that. I see people that work out in a different, totally different way now. They've earned all my respect completely. I mean, I know it's not easy. It might seem, oh yeah, you're just going to the gym and taking a picture. And yeah, no, it's hard work. And especially the days that you don't have the energy, you don't feel like it, you don't want to, but you still show up, right? So that earns all my respect. Mm-hmm. And I do tell my friends, I'm like, you have no idea how much working out has helped me to overcome all the shit that I've gone through, right? So if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have that moment for me to just release all my stress, my bad vibes, whatever you want to call it, and be able to listen to music, to the music that I like that makes me want to sing and dance and
disconnect.
Happy, disconnect for a moment and just, and I used to make a lot of excuses and say, oh, it's because I don't have time. I think I have less time now, but I still make it, right? So it's, you got to give an hour to yourself every day. That'll keep you sane.
Yeah, I agree.
There were times when last year, even when I was really, really struggling, we were opening a new business and things just were hectic for me. And I'd be here and I'd just be down. And Josh would say, Rob, I know you're feeling down and everything, but you got to put all that shit away. We're going to work out. And I'd be like, no, bro, I don't have any energy. And he says, well, it is what it is. You're going. And so we'd go. Mm-hmm. And there were times when I'm working out and I'm, and there's these like fractions of seconds where I would realize I feel good. I'm not worried about, you know, whatever happens. When I leave the gym, I still have all the same problems. But for that 1 hour, my endorphins are up. Clears my mind.
All the chemicals that we produce.
Yeah, it gives me what I need to combat the depression that my situation was putting me in. Mm-hmm. And every bit helps, you know. Yeah. And endorphins are important, and so
that's why it's important to have a coping mechanism. I call it a coping mechanism, mm-hmm. but it's for me it's working out,
reading to me is also taking the time to go to church and being with my kids or just having some time alone. You know, it's whatever works for you, you know?
Yeah. That's, I think most people don't know how to find that though. So how would you explain, like, to somebody, you need to find this, how are techniques that you can.
Ooh, just try different things, you know, not be afraid of, okay.
Well, so maybe. Many people are afraid of trying different things. Like they are stuck in their ways. How do you combat that? Or is that just like some people you can't help or you can't get through or. I heard this perfectly the other day.
They got to be wanting to help themselves first.
Yes, that's exactly what I heard. It's like, you cannot, like when I was trying to force like fitness down everybody's throat last year, mm-hmm. everybody was just like so turned off by it. But I understood through the process within 3 months, by the way, which is pretty relatively quick. I learned that you cannot force anybody to do anything. They have to be willing to do it for themselves mm-hmm. first. There's nothing you can do. So how do you get to that point?
You can suggest it. You can offer it. You can, you know, like you will tell him, hey, well, let's go work out. If you really didn't want to.
Well, that only worked because he was here. Like, hey, Rob, you're going, dude.
Yeah.
But I mean, like I said, just try different things. Don't be afraid. I've always think that it's better to say, okay, I try and it was not for me. It didn't work. I failed. Than having that doubt in your mind for the rest of your life saying, oh, what if?
What if?
What if? Yeah. I should have done it. Where would I be right now? You know? So just not be afraid of trying new
what
things.
What is your biggest regret in business?
Not being financially smart enough.
Okay, explain. Like
financial management. I never took a business class. I went into business not knowing, not even what a business plan was, how to open a business, you know. And I talked about it last weekend when I was at St. Edward's. I was like, we really need to teach our kids mm-hmm. since they're in elementary
yeah.
how to manage your finances, your money, your credit cards, your debts, your future, your savings, all of that. We really need to know that. Forget about geometry.
Yeah. We all have calculators now.
Yes.
On our phones.
Yeah. No, but you're right. You're very right. I dropped out of high school at 14, and by the time I was in my 20s, I had mm-hmm. a very lucrative business. And it all went to nothing because I had no idea what a CPA was. I had no idea how the importance of an attorney is or mm-hmm. or a money accountant or, you know. Yeah, man, like they don't teach us to save money, to protect your credit, like if it was your child. Like they don't, mm-hmm. they do not explain to us the intricate workings of the financial world, man. They say you have to go to college to learn that. And then you get to
but
college.
But if you take the classes only, yeah. if you take those classes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Then you never learn it. So.
And so, yeah, it's what you're saying is true because, for instance, I know attorneys go to law school and they learn to research the law and interpret the law and litigate, and they learn all these things and they get that degree and now they're an attorney, and then they come out
And they've never done business.
They're never successful because they've never done business. And they're like, well, shit, I know how to combat this case. I know how this, I know how to do these things. But my business can never seem to hold water and grow. And that's because of a lack of what you're saying, a lack of education in our systems about how to do those things, man. That also, shit is super important.
I also think that nowadays or forever, the entrepreneur, the business owner cannot rely just on one skill. Like they are doing multiple different things so many different times during one day. Like I talk about this as skill stacking. Skill stacking, you get relevant skills that relate to this one main skill that you have. And then you become like a skill master over here because you know so many little different things that you can create and connect together to make the ultimate project move forward faster. That's skill stacking for me, and I think it's relatively a new concept, but I think a lot of people should figure that out because sometimes people don't have 4 years to go to college. They need money now.
Yeah,
and I mean, honestly, to open up a business, you got to have skills. Forget that. I mean, if you're able to get your business degree or college degree, yes, that's wonderful. That's great. That's something nobody's never going to take away from you. But having the skills can help you a lot more than having your degree. You got to be able to put on a lot of different hats, right? So,
especially in the beginning.
Especially since the beginning, yes, and just keep evolving, you know, because your business is never going to be, it's not always going to stay the same way. You're not always going to make the same sales. So, like I said, I mean, at one point, yeah, you think this is going great. It's always going to go like that.
Yeah.
And then you find yourself, wait a minute, like it's not like it used to be 2-3 years ago. What am I doing? I should have just done when it was great. I should have invested in this. I should have done this. I should have saved more. So I mean, just be very smart about your finances.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, especially in business, because one thing is businesses can crash and they're just gone like overnight. Like I think we've seen a lot of Rio Grande Valley restaurants specific, like they're here and then they're gone. It's the strangest thing in the world, because I talked about this before, is like a lot of these people are putting their hard-earned money into something that they think is going to be successful and then just ultimately doesn't.
It breaks my heart when I see a business closing down.
Yeah, because there was a ton of work.
Yes, I know how much work, how much money, how much effort, time, everything they put into it, and then to see it like not continuing open, I'm like, oh. It gets me.
So then give me three of your best pieces of advice for business owners to be able to take advantage of like right now to help boost business.
I mean, use all the tools that you now have. You have so many platforms that you can get yourself out there. You don't longer need so much of a whole marketing agency. If you put yourself out there, if you create good content, if you're constant about it, that'll put yourself out there, right? And so use the tools that we now have with all the technology. Never stop creating. That mind of entrepreneur or creator, just try to always feed it, you know? Doesn't matter if things get bad, if you maybe one day you're doubting yourself, but days will get better. And just try to really believe in yourself and that creative mind. Don't let it die.
Don't let it die. I always tell that to my kids. Don't ever lose your imagination.
Yes,
because the imagination
exactly.
is the most wonderful thing in the world, because you can escape anywhere in a second.
Of course, and
I think a lot of people lose that. You have a great imagination, and you can tell very well.
Thank you.
But
I tend to sit and imagine shit all the time.
Well, the thing also, too, is I think...
The world needs more people like that.
Yes, and I think that's... To touch on that is a lot of people simply don't think or have conversations. Like, I think that's missing from society. Like, they're going on through life, boom, 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 so busy. They don't have conversations.
Yeah, because we feel like we don't have more time, Raj.
Yes. That's the point why I record this in dual purposes.
it's funny, but it's true, man. And another thing is that I think people resonate and are drawn to these podcasts because they crave what we're doing here, the interaction of being across from one another and talking. Because even when you go and you see colleagues and people having lunch or doing things, everybody's behind their screen. You know, everybody's looking at their phone, answering between text messages. And so I think that that's we're losing a lot of that, man. And now conversations happen mostly during
text.
During business hours, through text, via email.
True text, yes.
Or during social events where it's difficult to have a good intellectual exchange of whatever it is that you're going to talk about, you know? So, yeah, no, it's, people need to, I tell my kids all the time, I see my sobrinos and other children that, that a waiter will walk up and say, actually, you know, can I take your order? And they'll be like, they'll tell them.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They're like, afraid of that.
Talk to that guy right there. Right?
Yeah.
He's here to help you. He's, you know, he wants to get you what you need.
More eye contact.
Yeah, social, you know, skills are very important to for any business owner. Like that, that is one thing that you have to figure out. Like, you have to figure out how to talk to people.
Yes, definitely. I think I have a degree in media communication. So.
And you said you were nervous and you're over here like all professional.
We've been trained to do this.
We just do this. We just click a button here. Yeah, we're not trained for it, all right?
No, wow. But I mean, my degree is media communication. So I think I might not have studied a business class, but all the other skills that made me want to study media communication has helped me with my business. And one of those is just knowing how to talk to people and understanding people and how do you communicate with them and how do you explain how to do the process and be patient and, you know, just give it time. So I think that has really worked with my team and with my customers. I kind of know how to talk to them.
That was for sure right there. I know what I'm doing. So the top three advice, like the top three skills that an entrepreneur should have, like going up into this, what do you think they are?
What are yours?
Oof, I have a lot. No, you know, where's I'm my talking book? About this because since I was at career day last weekend, I was writing down skills that an entrepreneur needs. And I kind of Googled some too. I was like, oh, yeah, well, I have this. Oh, yeah, but I'm a little bit of this. So I had a long list, right? But being creative, being brave enough and courage to take risk, have great communication skills, have a good financial management. I don't know, there's a lot of things, but
those are the main ones that pop out to you.
Innovator too. You gotta innovate. You gotta keep up with what's trendy. I mean, especially for us in fashion, I got to know, okay, next year, what's going to be trendy? What's coming up? What girls are going to be looking for? What colors? What season are we at? What are they looking for?
Interesting. It's a very interesting topic because I feel like also you have to have the skills. Like there's no way around anything that you have if you can't have the skill to put it out. Like I find it interesting.
It really is. It's been super informative, and I feel it's condescending, but I almost feel a little proud of you now that I know you and everything that you've accomplished.
Thank you, Robert.
Is super, super cool.
Thank you.
And I think more people need to
take risks.
Yeah, take risks, you know, and kind of go pull your own way and do you, you know, because I think that's why you're so successful, because I can see based on how you're dressing and how you carry yourself, this is something that you're passionate about, whether or not you're making money. So the money is just a secondary perk that you get because you do what you love, mm-hmm. you know, and that's a blessing. So
before we finish off, for all the guys out there, how should a man dress? When you look at a man, what do you consider?
What do you consider
a good dressed man?
Well, you gotta dress, and it goes for men and women. You gotta dress accordingly to your age, to your body, to wherever you're going to. So you gotta really know your body and what looks good in you. Okay, if I have a really nice arms or
accentuate those arms.
Yes.
Well, okay,
or a small waist, accentuate that. Or
most men have no fashion sense, and I'm fine with saying that because I have no fashion sense.
I think just keep it simple and modern.
Like solid colors, just boom.
Solid colors. You can never go wrong with that. And I mean, you guys have it much easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just make sure your jeans fit really good on you.
Okay.
Invest in good jeans. Invest in good pair of sneakers, either black, white. And pair of like nice boots to go out, right? And just black shirts and t-shirts and
keep it simple.
Yeah, keep it simple. You guys can make it look great.
And none of your stores sell hair. Anything.
No, I know.
She doesn't cater to simps, man.
Yeah, she was like it.
But I mean, you know, grooming your hair nice, perfectly cut and stuff like that. So that, okay.
There you go, guys.
And they're smelling nice too.
Smelling nice. Yes.
Make sure you guys smell nice. But I love this. I think now that podcasts are becoming so popular, I love this. It's a time to reconnect.
Yeah.
Like get away of everything and just have a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's
great ideas.
Specifically for marketing, for businesses and stuff like that, it's a perfect tool because the great thing about it is they get to see how you look, they get to see how you talk, they get to see how you act, your mannerisms, are you well-spoken, do you look nice, do you look nice in front of the camera? That's why I want to dress nicer.
I know. He'll be shirtless.
you guys are dressed very nice.
Well, thank you. Usually it'll be flip-flops, but we changed that around and everything. Yeah, so
we knew you were coming.
All right, guys, we'll see you on the next session. Bye.
Thank you.